Thank you for joining with us for another episode of Morning Briefings here on the Pipeline Intercession for the President and on our podcast. If you have any dreams that you have about the Office of the President, please send them to pip@christiancenterstreetport.com. We're so thankful that you all have joined in with us on this prayer journey, and we look forward to standing with you not only today, but in the days ahead. So with that, we'll go ahead and join today's broadcast as we talk about the news and stand on the wall for this nation and the Office of the President. Good morning, everyone. Zach Arskadin coming to you live from North Carolina on this blessed Tuesday. I know it's been raining and stormy in and around Shreveport as storms have come through. As Kamala Harris was in the region yesterday, which I think is a very interesting natural event happening in the region. But today is a new day, and a day where we are highlighting the beauty of the Lord being able to remove what is holding us back, not only in this season, but in the next season, so that we can be an example for His kingdom for those around us, starting with ourselves, our family, and this nation. And so today I want to start off again, as usual, in Scripture and focus on a passage in Isaiah that is a warning for the Israelites at that time, Judah, on what to put their hope in and how to get through difficult situations. And so we see here in Isaiah, starting in verse 14, Isaiah says, "Therefore, hear what the word of the Lord, O scoffers, who rule this people who are in Jerusalem, because you have said, you have made a covenant with death and with Sheol. We have made a pact. The overwhelming scourge will not reach us when it passes by, for we have made falsehood our refuge, and we have concealed ourselves with deception." And Isaiah is pointing out the fact that the rulers and leaders of Israel and Judah have said, well, we've made a pact with the devil, basically. We're going to be fine no matter what happens. And the Lord, and Isaiah says, and it's a warning, because this is what he heard from the Lord. He said, "Therefore, thus says the Lord God, behold, I am laying in Zion a stone," and this is talking about the coming of Jesus, "a tested stone, a costly cornerstone for the foundation firmly placed. He who believes in it will not be disturbed. I will make justice the measuring line and righteousness the level. Then hail will sweep away the refuge of lies, and the waters will overflow the secret place, and your covenant with death will be canceled. And your pact with Sheol will not stand. When the overwhelming scourge passes through, then you become its trampling place. As often as it passes through, it will seize you." The overpouring of the Holy Spirit is what he's talking about here. For morning after morning, it will pass through any time during the day or night, and it will be sheer terror to understand what it means. And in the Amplified Version, it talks about that phrase about how only hard treatment and dispersion will make you understand God's insurrection, as we see here, for them to fully understand. Sometimes people have to go through hard times to fully understand what the Lord is trying to do in these situations. And he goes on to say, "The bed is too short on which to stretch out, and the blanket is too small to wrap oneself in, for the Lord will rise up as at Mount Perazim. He will be stirred up as in the valley of Gideon to do his task, his unusual task, and to his work, his extraordinary work." And the focus there is that we can decide who to put our help in. You know, we've made these covenants with things that have held us back, but it's time, the reordering of our day here is to break those old covenants, to break those soul ties, those spiritual ties, whatever it is that's holding us back, those things that are causing us to be ineffective, and starting in our personal life so that it can grow. We can be a light to the nations. And the prayer point here that Dutch really points out is to deal with those things that have been holding us back and to live and operate in the spirit and natural in the soulish realm of where the Lord would want us to be, and to declare that any shroud of death that has been holding you captive will be removed, and also to declare that your spirit will be free of all vexation, torment, harassment from the enemy, so that you can be free and remove those strongholds that are in your life and have, as Isaiah talks about, this foundation, this line of judgment, pure godly judgment, and a foundation for righteousness in our lives, and allow the Holy Spirit to operate in us and through us so that we can accomplish what the Lord has destined for us to do before we were even in our mother's womb, as Psalms 139:16 talks about, and being able to fulfill what the Lord has written over us. And so we see that today in a moment where we can sit here and say, oh, well, we just have to let things pass by because this is how they are. There's really nothing we can do that. And that really hits home with a lot of the things that are happening in our nation and around the world right now, of how we can engage with the world and engage the Holy Spirit to come in and provide that plumb line for us in this season, to overturn the lawlessness that's been occurring, to get us back to a lawful standing, not only with the Lord in and out of the church, but in righteous standing with the will of the Lord, not only for this life, but for this nation and other nations as well. This doesn't just apply to America. This applies to every believer everywhere. But it's, are we going to endure these hard seasons that God is trying to awaken us in? And right now is one of those moments. And so I want a few updates on the Ukraine issue, and then I want to kind of tie into this with what our administration has been doing. So we're seeing now continued attacks on Mariupol. There's been reports that a town 40 miles north of Kiev has been taken back by the Ukraine soldiers, army forces there, which is a good sign, if true. This is still, it's wartime, so things could change. And there's discussions about whether Putin and Zelensky will meet personally, most likely via teleconference. Zelensky is supposed to be meeting with or speaking before the Italian parliament to call on them to increase sanctions on Putin himself and in Italy and on Russia and then the companies that do business there. So there's a lot happening there. As far as from the Ukrainian side, there's also been a 35-hour curfew. Basically telling people in Mariupol, the mayor has put it on to say, hey, we need to shut things down because they believe they're going to be under attack. They're trying to get as many innocent civilians out of there so that they can protect them. The U.S. is sending Soviet air defense systems that it has secretly acquired, quote unquote, several years ago, somehow to get them to Ukraine, to Poland, Belarus. They're trying to figure out how to do it. This is somewhat alarming, something we pray wisdom for our leaders to have, because Russia could see this and say, well, this is international war. So now what is going to be their response from this? Something to pray for our leaders to have wisdom on. And then also Zelensky said in these push for talk. He's pushing for a talk with Putin because he's realizing nothing is coming from the talk with Lavrov And so on the Russian side, and so he wants to say, all right, let the two heads meet. Let's figure out what really needs to happen. What do you want? What are the concessions that you're trying to put on us? Let's talk. He wants to talk everything. Talk Crimea, talk the independent regions that Russia supposedly claim is theirs, and really meet with Putin to get the final end goal out. Do you want us to surrender? Do you want to kill me? Do you want... It's a bold move. It's a bold strategy. It puts everything in Putin's court of saying, look, I'm willing to meet. Let's meet. Let's have a conversation, me and you. We can have our lackeys here with us, our people who are telling us, you know, intelligence, whatever the case may be. Let's meet. And then he says, but whatever we agree to, you have to allow the Ukrainian people to meet on a terms of a peace deal. That's very interesting. There's a whole host of logistical issues that possibly could come up in that. Do Russian forces act as Ukrainian citizens, vote in favor of Russia, et cetera? How does that all play out? So there needs to be wisdom for Zelensky and other world leaders who might try to persuade Zelensky to do this, to not do this, to what to concede, to what not to concede. So there's a host of issues there. Something else we also need to be aware of. We're learning more and more about what's coming out of Russia. I talked about yesterday about how there's the Russian Orthodox Church who is pushing their tradition of basically a Russian empire and taking back those countries. So this motivation for that is not just something Putin is making up. He's literally taking it from the church, and then he's also using that motivation in public speeches. If you saw this last weekend, there was a big rally, something similar to what Trump would do for Vladimir Putin to tell the people a lighthearted message about why he went into and sent forces into Ukraine. And what is scary is that he was using scripture. He talked about how... he said, the English translation, this is the verse that Jesus talked about, had discourage those who are to show love to the words from the Holy Bible come to my head. There is no greater love than to lay down one's life for one's friend because of the supposed genocide, you know, the Nazis, the terrorists who are coming. And so he's using scripture. He's using this ideology from the Russian Orthodox Church as his reason to go in and take back the former Russian Empire. So we're seeing both sides, some things play out, some not so good things from Zelensky yesterday. And this leads into what our president is doing now of this idea, and he said it yesterday, of he was fumbling and bumbling around, which is not really a surprise, but he talked about how now we've entered into a new world order. And we as the United States, we need to be a leader in this new world order. And he kind of, you know, people are saying, oh, he said the quiet part out loud. Yes, but let's also look at, okay, as believers, how do we respond to this? How do we deal with this? Okay, we've seen this happening. We've seen shifting things, been warning about wars and rumors of wars, and scripture tells us this, that these things will happen in a shifting, and we see, you know, the cries for revival, the Lord telling us, you know, be the voice. This is the decade of the voice, 5780, and to rise up, to take our rightful place as kings and priests in this world, to spread the gospel of the kingdom in this nation. And then here's Biden talking about this shifting sand, basically. And it's what side, what's going to be our rule? Are we going to appeal to heaven? Are we just going to agree, oh, well, we've made a deal with the devil, so, oh, well, this is where we kind of have to be. And I say that to say, let's look at the posture of this administration. Okay, we're in this quote-unquote new world order. Things are shifting. Well, let's look at why, you know, open doors have been made by this Biden administration to allow certain things to happen. Certain things weren't done that needed to be done. Strong force wasn't shown in all of that. And then now you're seeing a response from this administration to meet with CEOs behind closed doors to talk about price adjustments, price increases to things. What was in those discussions? Was it, oh, hey, the government's going to take care of you. Don't worry about it. Just lower your prices, help the people. We'll just print money to give it to you, which hurts the economy overall. Also, the White House has talked about, came out yesterday about a coming cyber attack on the U.S. and companies. And there was a report I read earlier about how with the administration where they want to be in communication with companies about this, and they want companies to tell them what they're doing, tell them what they're not doing, so that supposedly they can help. It's a very thin line of totalitarianism, of giving this information to the government so they know, can be in control of the company's data, can be in control of the company. So it's a very, very alarming sign. But you just see here, oh, well, this is where we're at. Get ready. Okay. We have this intelligence, but what is it? What does it mean? Is it a hope? Are we going to do something about it? Why don't you say, well, there's nothing we can really do about it. Just be prepared. Just be ready. Okay. You're telling us to be prepared to be ready. I understand that a little bit, but what are we going to do? Are we just going to sit here in this moment of fear and not do anything? And you have, you know, the whole thing that overcame this weekend of how we've entered into the spring and, oh, well, you've survived, for those who are alive, what Biden said would be the winner of death. This is some of the same time. And I bring this up as a passing. This isn't something that's just happening now of how the administration is proposing these just ideas of fear. Be warned. Okay, you're warning us about what? Where's the hope? Is it, how do we get through this? How do we overcome this? What can we do? And they're focusing on this idea of climate change and risk emissions, as the SEC is now pushing for an idea of mandatory disclosures on climate risks and emissions for every corporation who are on the stock exchange. I just leave that there. And again, we see now the Biden administration warning of a potential global food shortage from what's happening in Ukraine, not for America, but for the rest of the world. And so we're at a point now where obviously we want to continue to pray for the Biden administration to have fear and wisdom, fear of the Holy Spirit and wisdom and revelation from the Lord to know what to do. We want to continue to pray against this war, pray for it to come to an end. Will it not? Let's continue to pray. Let's endure. Pray for the safety of the Ukrainian people, the believers there, to continue to allow God's destiny for that nation to occur as we will in ours, to remove the corruption, remove those things, to plant in righteous leaders, that line, plumb line of righteousness and justice that is needed and that God would want in those countries as he wanted in Isaiah talked about within Judah. And so we want to pray for that, but also understand that there are things that this administration is doing that are very alarming, to say the least, and decisions ahead that need to be wake-up calls for the church to take its place. Is we're seeing what happens now is, okay, well, there's a dispute about 2020 election. That's great. I understand that. There are plenty of people rising up doing things right now, and we ourselves could probably do more. But let's also look at the fact of even before the last election, estimated between only 30% of evangelical Christians were even registered to vote. Only 30% of 90 million people. So about 30 million people. You had every Christian registered to vote, getting involved, voting based upon biblical moral values. Biden won with 81 million votes. This is 90 million votes from biblical believers who, if they voted basic biblical moral values for life, for freedom, there's no question about it. And so we can sit here and blame, oh, this politician did this. They're horrible, this and that. But we have to ask ourselves and repent of, are sitting on the sidelines of our agreeing with, well, we've made this deal with the devil. There's nothing we can really do about it. And God's saying, no, wake up. Let's remove these things that are holding us back. And it's the things that are inside of us. inside of our souls that can pull us out of these situations that we can do to get us to a season of being removing this lawlessness. And so we're seeing this idea, this information being floated out there by this administration. They're not wrong. They haven't been wrong about the information. It's just the decisions being made on how to act. They have the wisdom. They have the knowledge. But what's the revelation of what to do with it? That's that wisdom and revelation that Dutch has talked about for so long. John started talking about it. I mean, it's wisdom in the Bible. Is this scripture, this foundation of, okay, now we have this wisdom. Let's take the revelation. Let's do what we need to do to secure God's kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. And another issue we need to continue praying for is this Iran nuclear deal. As it wraps up, there's talks from this administration to possibly move the Iranian Revolutionary Guard from terrorism watch list in order to lift sanctions on the country so that we can buy oil from them and et cetera. This is very alarming. Israel and its allies, the UAE, Saudi Arabia are like, do not do this. When you have Trump gaining because of these sanctions, because they understood that the 2015 Iran nuclear deal was such a disaster, putting the diplomatic economic sanctions on Iran to harm the Ayatollahs economically, which would bolster Israel's ally and allow an opportunity to bolster Israel's allies. And that's what the Abraham Accords was about, was building relationships with Israel and the rest of the Middle East. And now you're giving strength to the rest of the Middle East to stand up to Iran, and they love that. And everything the Biden administration has done has been against that. And Israel is calling this out. And so we want to pray on this situation that the Biden administration would have the fear of the Lord and stand up with Israel, on the side of Israel, on the Iran nuclear deal, so that this Prince of Persia isn't allowed to take the steps that it's trying to take in this season in accords with the spirit of darkness that is trying to take operations out of the Black Sea through Russia, and this dark spirit that is trying to prevent basic freedoms, but more importantly, the spreading of the gospel of the kingdom. Now, just because that oppression were to come doesn't mean that the gospel can't thrive, because sometimes it thrives best, and history has shown us it thrives best, even at the time of Jesus and the disciples under persecution, because you see the truth faith. Are people really going to stand up for this, or is this just something nice, a little social card for them to stand up for? So we want to pray for the administration on that as these talks go. There are some things involved in this that could possibly make it collapse, with the fact that Russia's involved in this and Israel's starting to get involved in the Russia-Ukraine issue. So there's a host of issues that could happen. Let's pray for our leaders that they make the right decision. And you know, if they don't, Lord, Father, let your will be done in this situation so that we can continue to stand with Israel as we have in seasons past. And some economic news is that the Fed chair, kind of shifting, and I'll wind down on this, is that Jerome Powell talked about how now he's starting to realize inflation is too high. Price of goods have gotten too high. We need to pull that down because a quarter of a percent increase will literally do nothing. It will start to raise interest rates for, you know, your credit cards, mortgages, and things like that. And it's pricing some people out of homes. But there's other issues involved with why home prices are so high, with the lack of inventory. And I say this on an economic level, being the fact that we operate under the Federal Reserve System, whether that's right or wrong, it's a whole other discussion. But if you're going to do this, he needs to increase it, significantly to prevent prices from continuing to rise, to prevent the easy flow of lending and money from people who are doing things that are only driving up the prices of stuff. and who are not assessing the risk, and companies who are continuing to grow their balance sheets without growing their revenue and their profits. They're just continuing to grow the risk side, which leads to a potential downfall in the future and the easy printing of money. And that's the biggest issue here, is the tapering back of printing of money, handout social welfare programs. And this is what Joe Manchin is talking about, of how we need to get our financial house in order. This is a step in the right direction. It's not the best step. And look, this, they're saying this won't happen until May or June. But it's a step in the right direction. And who knows how far they're willing to go? Who knows if they're going to put all the tools on the table to actually get inflation under control? Printing money was a disastrous decision for the past 2.5 years. The worst time to print money is at a economic crisis, and they did that. And so that's why you're seeing inflation get out of control right now. And the sad thing is that the Federal Reserve and those involved do not understand the realities that inflation is completely out of control. And they said it was transitory. They said it would only happen for a short period of time, and then everything would calm down. And they do not have a grasp of the situation. And that is the scariest thing. I want to pray for them to have wisdom on those decisions and for leaders to raise up there. And then today there is continued questioning and a dialogue with Ketanji Brown Jackson, Supreme Court Justice nominee from the Biden administration. And let's not lose focus on this, because she's sitting in the Senate Judicial Committee, and they have an opportunity to stand up for this justice and righteousness. And her record alone, the content of her character, is very alarming. She has been a Democratic political activist, prosecutor, and judge, been soft on child porn, and a host of other issues that are very, very alarming for someone who could potentially be a Supreme Court justice nominee. And just because she's up does not mean they 100% have to push her through. Democrats are claiming, Republicans are doing this just because she's black and et cetera and all this stuff. Look, let's look at the content of her character. And Josh Hawley is doing that. And I want to point something out of a reporter from ABC talked to Josh Hawley and tried to get him caught up in what's called a gotcha moment. And if you listen to our noon prayer from last Thursday, I would highly suggest going back and looking at it. And John West brought up a good point of be three questions deep on rebuttals and anything. If you don't know like what people are talking about, they're bringing up, so they're trying to stump you, just think of three questions, and it may just come, Lord, give me wisdom while you're in this discussion. And he did that because a reporter came up to him and said, well, you know, why are you standing up to Ketanji Brown Jackson as a judge when you voted for people at different courts at lower levels? And why should it matter so much if it's okay for lower courts to do it? And he goes, it's not really okay. And it's definitely not okay for Supreme Court justice to do it. And he asked her three questions. He goes, what judges are you talking about? Do you know them? Have you looked at my record? Number two was the question. I think he asked that one first. He's, what, have you looked at my record? And she said, yes. She said she looked at it. And then he goes, okay, if you've looked at my record, then what judges are you talking about? Oh, well, you know them. That's what you've voted on. You should know it better than me. And then she keeps asking, you know, why is it okay for her for this, but not for that? And then he goes, well, what cases are you talking about? Three questions. You can go listen. I'll put this link up. You can go listen to the audio. It's low, so turn it up. He asked her three questions. That's three questions deep. That's wisdom. She's trying to make an accusation towards him about this because he's standing up for basic human decency in this situation and trying to protect children in the future from someone who's a political activist. And I point that out for reasons of just because somebody brings an accusation doesn't mean they, number one, know what they're talking about. Because she probably, this was talked in a newsroom, somebody told her, hey, grill him, Holly says, well, this is the White House talking point. That could be true or not. That could just be coming from the newsrooms at ABC. And just say, hey, go attack him. He's voted for judges who have voted on these things. But that not being verified to be true. It may have happened. It may not have happened. It is upon the person bringing the accusation to provide the evidence of that. And he proved that there. He's a lawyer. He understands that very well. And he's a strong believer at that. So I point that out in these moments of chaos where people are bringing all these accusations and stuff. Okay, where are you getting information from? What are you talking about? What case, like be specific. There's a lot of general ideas being floated out there about making accusations about it. Elizabeth Warren's been doing about, you know, these greedy corporations. What corporations? What are they doing? How are they doing it? How can we deal with that? And she sometimes has been accurate and specific. And when she is, she's on point. But when she's not, she's all over the place. And I'm not saying I agree with everything that she does, but there have been times where she calls out some corporate greed that needs to be handled and dealt with. And there have been Republicans like Ted Cruz and Josh Hawley who have agreed with her on some of those things. So I digress on that. Let's remind ourselves of in this season of how God is realigning things and crying out for an awakening. And as we're crying out for an awakening and we're appealing to heaven for the Lord's will to be done in this nation and the spreading of the gospel of the kingdom to this nation, let's ask the Lord to show us what are those things that we need to remove in our lives and decree from a place of victory that the Lord would remove anything that has been holding us captive in the past seasons, and anything that has been vexing us, harassing us, intimidating us, to prevent us from stepping in to the destiny of the things that the Lord has talked about, written about us before we were even in our mother's womb, so that we can reorder our day to be effective and efficient in our lives and for God's kingdom here on earth as it is in heaven. And with that, I will close. Thank each and every one of you for following along. Don't forget, we'll be back today, a noon prayer online this week as we're in spring break for all of School of Ministry. But we want to continue standing on the wall, praying for this nation, giving you key insights for you guys to intercede. Stand with us, locked in arms for what the Lord is showing and what the Lord's will is for this nation, office of the president, and for God's will within the earth. Blessings, and I will see you guys later. Have a good one.